Few people pack as much history into 90 years and a 6-foot, 8-inch frame as John Kenneth Galbraith, the Harvard economics professor, advisor to presidents, former ambassador, and prolific author. Galbraith is a shameless name dropper. In fact, name dropping is the title of his latest book, a memoir of the famous and infamous he's encountered. In it, Galbraith contends that Franklin D. Roosevelt affected our lives more than any other public figure he's known.
Anybody on Social Security, getting unemployment compensation, anybody who feels that there's a certain public responsibility for the well-being of people has a major debt to the New Deal and to FDR. And, of course, one can only calculate what would have happened if Britain had fallen and Hitler had been triumphant.
You worked in the Roosevelt administration. Did you have much?
I only worked in the Roosevelt administration, but in terms of power, my life has been downhill ever since. I was put in charge of first of price control and rationing, and then price control in World War II. I started with a staff of 7 and ended up with somewhere around 15,000, and you could lower a price without my permission, but you couldn't raise a price, and I've had no such authority ever since, nor do I want it.
You say almost as much, or perhaps as much, in your book about Eleanor Roosevelt as you do FDR. What did you learn about Mrs. Roosevelt that the rest of us may not perhaps appreciate or understand today?
I think, on the whole, we do appreciate Eleanor Roosevelt. She was a person of first-rate intelligence and enormous political strength. And she was perhaps the first person in that position, I hate the term first lady, to have a political influence in life of her own. She was also, for those of us in the administration and after, a major avenue to FDR himself. When we couldn't reach FDR, we would go through Eleanor Roosevelt. After FDR's death at the United Nations and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, she became a major national and international force in her own right. And one of the most agreeable things I ever did was act as a sort of liaison between Eleanor Roosevelt and John F. Kennedy.
Any particular incident that you remember in your contact with her that is either memorable or indicative of how special she was?
Could I tell a story?
Absolutely.
One of the great figures of that time was Bernard Baruch. Very rich, and very much given to self-enhancement, which he did by attaching himself to the White House. And eventually, FDR got tired of Bernie, as he was called, and they broke apart a bit. But when FDR died, as Eleanor later told me, the fact that they had broken up a bit did not matter. And she said Bernie came right over to Warm Springs, and he was there with us with the family, and he came with us on the train to Washington, and he was with us at the state funeral, and he came on the train to Hyde Park, and he was with us there for the family funeral, and there were several times when I thought he was going to get into the coffin with Franklin.
You spoke with President Kennedy over time, over the course of many years, from your earliest days, I guess, at Harvard, and then later on when he was president. Tell me about those conversations and how you saw him evolve over time, particularly during his years as president.
Well, the special feature of any conversation with JFK involved his enormous candor. His ability to look deeply, frankly, in any situation and say exactly what he felt. Well, this is not particularly to my satisfaction, but it's fairly typical. I remember the morning when I was leaving to be ambassador in India, and we had breakfast together at the White House, and the New York Times had a front page article that day on the new ambassador to India, which was quite favorable. And Kennedy pointed to it and asked how I liked it, and I said I did. And then I added, but I don't see why they had to call me arrogant. And Kennedy said, I don't see why not. Everybody else does. That was typical Kennedy. He never concealed the truth from himself or anybody else.
Have you learned something about the way that leaders interact with their subordinates that leads to a lot of bad advice being given to them?
Not particularly. It depends. The advice can be the result of intellectual inadequacy. But mostly, we have the role of organization and the role of doctrine. The Vietnam War was partly an expression of military thought, the notion that the military and the military judgment was supreme. And it was partly the result of Cold War doctrine, which held that even a jungle society like Vietnam, a country of villages scattered through the forest, could be susceptible to communism. And these were organizational errors in the case of the military, doctrinal errors in the case of the policymakers, and they came together to make the Vietnam disaster. I personally escaped that history because I was more familiar with that part of the world than most, and Kennedy sent me there in 1961, knowing that I didn't have an open mind and would report adversely on our sending troops, which I did.
John Kenneth Galbraith's most recent book is titled Name Dropping.